Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Saturday, the 15th of August. My name is Nick Hurley in Melbourne. An update on Virgin Australia Airlines. We had the CEO, Paul Scurra, mention to staff yesterday not to get distracted by this alternative bond holder proposal, and that the Bain proposal is the one that needs to be approved, and it's going to happen. We've also had Vaughan Strawbridge, the Deloitte administrator, sort of mentioned similar things, that Bain's the only one that will work, and that the alternative proposals lack sort of detail and legitimacy. Now, they did explain a bit more as to what went on and why these Tor and Broadpeak were sort of excluded earlier on, and apparently the bidders were asked to provide an interim funding facility of $125 million and collateral to underpin their proposals of $600 million each. Now, the Broadpeak and Tor proposal, they would not provide interim funding unless their proposal was accepted. So, a bit of chicken and egg, and so it wasn't. Now, Bain did provide that $125 million and $750 million as a deed of security. So the creditors meeting is going to be held now on the 6th of October. It's been pushed back. But basically all that meeting is to decide whether there's going to be a deed of company arrangement, which is sort of what Bain is working on, that you know, the creditors will get something, or an asset sale, which is the alternative option. And that will obviously mean, well, they estimate that most of the bondholders will get completely wiped out in an asset sale. Moving to China now, we had some economic figures out there yesterday. Industrial output was flat in July compared to the previous month. Retail sales improved, but were still negative. But there is some sort of promising signs. Production from China's factories were at the same level as a year ago, so before this crisis happened. There's also interesting signs in steel production. Crude steel production increased by 9.1% to 93.4 million tonnes. And overall, it's up about 3% for the first 7 months of the year. Coal's off a little bit. Now, excavator sales, which sort of indicate construction levels, jumped 55% in July. Automobile production rose 22%. And the automobile sales increased 16.4%. So some really positive signs there from China, which once again, Australia's economic prosperity is very dependent on the Chinese economy. So if it's happening there, then it's a positive sign for us as well. As you're probably aware, we're well through the quarterly reporting season here in Australia. We've had a lot of the big companies report, Rio Tinto, BHP, realestate.com.au, Computershare, Seek, Transurban, Commonwealth Bank, AMP, Telstra, lots of these companies. And overall, 25% of profits are above estimates, which might sound great, but that's the lowest number of expectations being exceeded for 15 years. 38% are below estimates. And not surprisingly, 47% of companies have cut dividends. Yesterday morning, we had the Reserve Bank of Australia Governor, Dr. Philip Lowe, present to the Federal Parliamentary Economics Committee, made some interesting points. Firstly, he mentions that the responsible lending legislation, which is sort of put in place to ensure banks don't lend to too risky counterparties, is holding back credit growth. And he says, we can't have a world where when a person can't pay off the loan, then it's the bank's fault. Fair point there. He also mentions that state governments need to do more on reform. Both the federal and state governments need to carry their fair share, he says. The states do control many of state levers here. They control the infrastructure programs, they do much of the health and education spending, and they control much of the maintenance of infrastructure. He also touched on MMT, modern monetary theory, saying it's trickery in financing. The best way for the government to finance its commitments is to go to the market rather than the central bank. Then he also mentions that the bank is reluctant to sort of interfere in currency devaluation largely. Talking about currency, when it's at fair value, it's going to be hard to shift. It will be costly and risky. I don't share your enthusiasm that we could easily get the dollar down, he told the committee. For a central bank to influence the currency, we would need huge amounts of foreign exchange intervention. I'm not optimistic that we could do it. He also pushed against the extending the duration of the yield curve control out to, say, 5 years. It's currently up to 3 years. Moving to the markets now, Europe's off quite a bit. There's been some more uptick in coronavirus cases. Spain's locking down things again, closing nightclubs. The north of England is having a lockdown extended. There's new restrictions on travel into the UK from France, Netherlands, and elsewhere in Europe. In the US, the market's off a little bit, driven by sort of disappointing retail spending figures, sort of highlighting the reality that things are going to be very slow to recover whilst the virus is still circulating around heavily. Have a great weekend. That's your finance update for Saturday. See you next week.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invested.